The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Dank and Ryan Hwang with you. Time now for the Bigger Picture, where we get a broader view of everything that we should be looking out for this week. Interesting situation we're having is that we're entering a period of calm. For the longest time in 2019, we've had Brexit uncertainty, trade war uncertainty. But in the space of 2 weeks, election goes through in the UK. It looks like Brexit's going to be happening on the 31st of December 2020. Reports of US-China Phase 1 trade deal being agreed upon. It's going to be signed in January 2020. Telephone reports between President Xi Jinping and President Donald Trump happening over the weekend seems to indicate good progress as well.
That's right. We started a year talking about recession, no slowdown coming. But it didn't happen. So it looks like we are heading into 2020 on a good footing, right? And like you mentioned, this is quite a data-light week. A lot of people on holidays. But I'm glad one person helping me out today is Han Tan. He is the analyst at FXTM. Morning, Han. How are you doing this Monday?
Well, I'm ready for Christmas, guys, but thanks for having me on the program.
Hey, Han, this is that time of the year. Very quiet. When I go Instagram, I see all my friends posting pictures in Bintan, Europe, and whatnot. So you can kind of tell a lot of people are away from the markets. Han, what's the trading situation like normally? What can you expect in this week?
Yeah, look, not much by way of catalysts, you know, over the next couple of weeks. But when you have thinner market activity, you know, that could lead to some pronounced moves in the stock markets, right? I think some events to look out for: the summit between China, Japan, and South Korea starting tomorrow, and hopefully that doesn't rock the boat when it comes to the calm that we are seeing, or the relative calm that we're seeing in global trade tensions. And of course, you've got some key data out of the U.S. and China and Singapore as well. That will inform us how the global economy can perhaps take advantage of that trade deal between the U.S. and China that's expected to happen early next year.
So normally this time of the year, end of the year, we get, you know, quite into a happy mood because we get our bonuses. Are we expecting some of these bonuses to go back into the market? Will we be expecting a bit of a Santa Claus rally in that sense?
You can't help but have this positive bias when you look at equities going into next year, right? You know, because of what you guys just mentioned a few minutes ago, the many of these downside risks to the global economy, to market sentiment, that has subsided significantly. So, you know, if you look at a historical trend over the last decade, you know, gains for the S&P 500 in the month of December usually come in under 1%. But you look at this month, you know, already month to date, it's already gained by 2.5%, right? And we're already at record highs. So despite the S&P 500 breaking into overbought territory late last week, I still think there's more optimism that has to be baked into the markets moving forward.
Yeah, overbought, it is already pushing towards new highs. Looking at some of the things we're looking out for, Brexit, that seems to be somewhat clearer now with the latest results from the UK elections. So if we take a look at the pound, right, for the year, it's up nearly 2.8%. But for the week, it's down 2.5%. So it's been quite volatile just in this past week alone. Where does it go from here? Because we were just, you know, touching an 18-month high recently, 1.35. Now we're pushing towards one-month lows at 1.30.
And you used a very key word there, right? You know, that being volatility, right? So 2020, new year, same old pound, driven by Brexit-related volatility. I mean, look, pound bulls are already getting cold feet, you know, like you mentioned earlier. And also pound now dipping below that 130 psychological mark against the dollar. And that's going to be the key level to look out for, whether that 130 line becomes a support or a resistance level. I mean, considering what Prime Minister Boris Johnson said a week ago, you know, pledging no extension to the Brexit transition period, you know, so that means that the risk of a hard Brexit by end 2020, that's still on the table. If that grows likelier, we could see the cable exploring more of its downside.
We're chatting with Han Tan. He is the analyst at FXTM. Han, let's take a look at what's happening for the dollar. When you look at the dollar yen cross, I'm looking at the dollar index first. It's up for the year 0.8%. If I look at it versus the Japanese yen, it has actually weakened 1.5%, and it is at 109.44. So looking at The dollar-yen cross is up, or rather is down, 1.5% for the year and threatening to push 110. So where does this go from here? Because I'm looking at Japan having the Olympics next year. Recently, we had the government announcing massive stimulus package to support the economy. Is this going to be supporting the yen for 2020?
Well, actually, at least for the first quarter, I just wrote my outlook for the first quarter for dollar-yen there. You know, we expect it to breach the 110 level, and that's primarily driven by this risk on more that's expected to hold up, you know, over the coming months, given the expectations of that trade deal being signed, right? You know, but yes, you're right in pointing out that there's a stimulus package of about $120 billion working its way through the economy, trying to offset the sales tax hike. You've got the spending leading up to the Olympics. You know, by the same time, that support from those factors, will be weighed down will be offset compared to the risk on sentiment that's going to dampen not just the yen, but of course gold as well and other safe haven assets. And that's why you're seeing, you know, the spread in our U.S. Treasury yields is steepening again.
So last time we touched 110 was sometime in May. So something to look out for in the next quarter. Looking at what we have in the currency down under, Australia, in the news, of course, because of the bushfires and those record temperatures, for the year is down 2.1% versus the greenback. So not too far from that 9-month low that we saw in August. So Han, we know the Australian dollar very sensitive to China's fortunes. So it's been getting quite a bit of action or support with the latest progress on the US-China trade front. Where are we looking in terms of 2020, when we hear news about how it might go into QE as it tries to drive down the unemployment rate and help to lift wages?
First things first, the RBA is still expected to ease their already record low interest rates, so now at 0.75%, we could see 0.5% by, towards the middle of next year. So it's these expectations that still really caps the upside for the Aussie dollar, right? Because of the factors that you mentioned earlier, the inflation subdued, unemployment still stuck, despite, all these measures that the RBA has actually tried to inject into the economy. Now, a question is next year, the onus is on the fiscal side and whether or not they can roll out some tax cuts that actually makes Australian consumers spend as opposed to saving the extra money that they've seen in recent months. I mean, sure, yeah, house prices have been ticking up slightly, so that's perhaps some green shoots for optimism, but whether or not they actually translate into the real economy, or actually rather consumers, that remains to be seen. So long story short, for the Aussie dollar, yeah, we expect it to prolong this recovery that they've seen this quarter, perhaps heading towards 70 cents to the greenback. But again, a lot of it is, a lot of the upside is capped due to those onshore factors that you mentioned earlier.
Han, I want to get a look at the Singapore dollar. So I like to go online shopping, and I'm just wondering, right, with the dollar losing 1.3% this year versus the Singapore dollar, are we expecting this to continue into next year, And that might, of course, help me keep my purchases on a stronger footing.
Look, if I had to sum up the Singapore dollar's performance this year vis-a-vis the regional peers, it's been stable, all right? And so looking forward, it really depends on where global economic conditions go from here, considering the fact that the Singaporean economy is very much reliant on external trade conditions. So we have seen export numbers around the region contracting. We have seen manufacturing also take a hit, but that could set up a low base effect for next year's print. So if global demand shows those green shoots of recovery and they actually come good on that front, then we could see some strengthening of some trade-dependent currencies such as the Singapore dollar. But the proof has to be shown to the market first before these currencies can take advantage and claim their upside.
Okay, just to wrap things up, Han, you mentioned it's going to be a bit of a risk-off mood come the first quarter of 2020. So look at gold. That is up nearly 17% for the past year at 1,481. Are we expecting the same type of performance in 2020 for gold?
The short answer would be no. And just to be clear, I'm expecting a risk-on environment over the coming month. So with that in mind, the bias for safe haven assets will be to the downside. So As good as it gets for gold bulls, I'm looking at 1500. That remains a key psychological level. Well, to the downside, I'm looking more towards 460, where we were just a few weeks ago. So, you know, obviously, we have to wait until that phase one trade deal is actually signed and we see more details and more signs, more meaningful signs that the global economy is actually recovering, you know, from those dampened headwinds. You know, once that happens, you know, then we can see gold then being driven lower.
All right, a risk on sentiment look out for. We've been chatting with Han Tan. He's the analyst at FXTM. Han, always great chatting with you and have a great holiday in advance.
You too, man. Happy New Year.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.